Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us, as usual, is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
I am here, present, and accounted for, and feeling good. Thank you, Scott.
All right. Well, we're really, really excited because this is going to be the best podcast ever, because we've got a successful entrepreneur and lifestyle columnist joining us, and what she wants to do in her life is create the best life ever for everybody else. She's a parent of five. She uses her real-life examples to inspire us in her everyday life, in her yoga practice, in her yoga teachings, and in her book. Her fun, easy, and effective approach makes the best life ever accessible to all. And she was, and I didn't know this until just today, and maybe still is, so we'll find out, the United Nations Yoga Peace Ambassador, which sounds incredibly cool. And every year she trains over 75 yoga teachers in her renowned Prana Power Yoga Teacher Training Program in both Massachusetts and New York. She's a happy super mom of five, including twin two-year-old boys, oh my goodness, and resides outside of Boston. So welcome, Taylor Wells, to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Hi, everybody.
Hi. So you had an experience traveling recently that sounded like it was pretty amazing, and I was wondering if you could share a little bit about your adventures after you had some surgery and you were flying around and your two boys were being what two-year-old boys are, and I just thought it was amazing.
You know, I believe in the best life ever. And so what I do is I deliberately create. So I create with my thoughts and my words, as we all do. But I choose to create what I want to create. So I'm deliberately choosing my future. So whatever situation I'm in, you know, you can. There's always a silver lining. So you can choose you know, kind of how to look at something in any situation. And, you know, you've always been around those, everyone's been around people who have, you know, a bunch of great things going on, but they, you know, choose to find the one thing that's negative, and then they focus on that, and then they create more of that. And then you've got the people who have kind of a lot of shit going down, and then they just basically find the silver lining, and then you kind of notice that that kind of temperament. And what I teach Scott and Martin and everybody out there is that we can, no matter what is thrown our way, we can choose on what to focus. So, you know, having five kids, you know, ages actually the twins just turned three on Monday. I got to remember that. So now they're 3, 3, 6, 9, and 15. So there's a huge range of developmental ages there. You know, they really keep me on my toes, and they keep me humble, and you know, so do kind of how other people respond to them. And so I can choose, you know, how to react to how someone is responding to my child, and come from light and visualize the positive, or I can kind of get into a story, into drama. So I always choose the former instead of the latter.
Right. So this was a case where you had a layover and the boys were probably really excited not to be crammed into a plane and running around, and everyone was sort of telling you to, like, you know, control the kids.
Oh, exactly, exactly, right. So basically what happened was we were on a layover, yeah, and people were glaring, and, you know, I just had this surgery, and I had abdominal surgery, actually, because I had rectus abdominis. My rectus abdominis had separated so much that it couldn't go back together, and so that I had a hernia, and it was quite dangerous, actually. And they had told me after I had my second child, and these were my fourth and fifth, that I should have it taken care of, you know, surgically. And I was like, no way, I'm not going to do that. So anyway, many pregnancies later, it kind of did me in. So it's a very serious surgery, and I'm doing really well, and it's all fine now. But I couldn't pick up my kids. I couldn't pick them up. And it was just completely against the doctor's orders. And so people were like glaring at me and, you know, what are you going to do? Like literally, what are you going to do? Are you going to, you know, feel bad and embarrassed and guilty? Are you going to pull them all aside and explain, wait a minute, I just had, you know, abdominal surgery, you know, and you just can't, you just have to let go. And it's just a lesson in letting go and allowing just the moment to flow and not getting into kind of shame and embarrassment or, you know, getting mad at your kids because they're just being two, you know, they're just chucking Cheerios around, which is what happens. And we just kind of corralled them into this little area and, you know, and we just let go. And that's the beauty of the path is learning how in any situation, no matter how you quote unquote look from the outside, you know the truth and you know that you just had abdominal surgery, but you can't explain anything to anyone really. Either people get something or they don't.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's so true. And, you know, it's taken me a lot of years to learn that. And all I can do is walk my talk and walk my journey with integrity and grace and then just let go. And that was the universe kind of dealt me that situation, in a beautiful way because it's just the epitome of that truth. It's like, you know, if I could pull every single person aside in that airport and explain to them I just had abdominal surgery, you know, that would be just fine. But obviously that's never going to happen in life, and you just have to trust that those who get it, get it. And I love the Dr. Seuss, you know, those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind.
Yeah, that's right. And you're in an airport where you've got millions of people walking by. It's an impossibility unless you want to put up a big neon sign above you pointing down saying, here's
I had surgery. Exactly. And the thing is, I believe that also your energy, like what you're putting out, like if I feed into anything, like this goes for any situation, parent or not, surgery or not, twins or not, you know, toddlers or not, airport or not, you know, how I respond to something determines how it's going to keep going. So, you know, if I'm reactive and if I'm, you know, defensive and angry or whatever, it's just going to snowball and it's just going to become a story. Or I can just, you know, if you're in a situation, any situation, so again, this is not specific to parenting or, because everything I teach basically is for everyone. It's not, my book is not a yoga book. My book is not a parenting book. It's for everyone. It's for every single person on the planet can utilize this information. So, you know, when you're in a situation, when you get yourself into sort of a situation, whatever it is, if you can think a thought that's positive in that moment, the situation has to change. But what happens is usually we get so caught up in the now of exactly what's happening in that moment and that whatever's playing out that we feed into that and negativity or whatever is going on, judgment or whatever, chaos, all those things. And then we feed into that and more of that will then happen. But if we have the awareness and the ability to shift our thought right then, the situation has to change. It is law, and that's the law of attraction, okay? But usually we don't have the awareness in the moment because we're caught up, right? We're in the now. We become reactive. And therein is why I have one of the principles in my book, Create the Best Life Ever, is practicing quote-unquote yoga every day. Now, that might sound contradictory because I just said it's not a yoga book, but it doesn't have to be yoga asana, the yoga poses. It could be the yoga of your choice, which helps you to be grounded and aware, because when we're grounded and aware, we are able to see the situation as it is and step back and then create from there using deliberate creation. So, you know, some people love to take hot baths. Some people like to go for walks in nature. Some people like to bake. Some people like to garden. Whatever it is, whatever that thing is that grounds you and calms you and helps you to be your authentic self so that you can be aware and not reactive, that is key. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's the path to the best life ever. Because
hey, Scott.
Yes.
I just was going to offer a comment here, which is, you know, in the language that we use here, we talk about sympathetic and parasympathetic. We talk about the fight, flight, or the rest and digest side of the autonomic nervous system.
Yes.
And we actually have been modifying these or engaging these using foods or supplements or other ways. And this is quite interesting, is that what you're going about is describing the same thing, is that if somebody goes overly sympathetic, they get short-tempered, impatient, ready to fight or ready to run.
And exactly.
When they engage the parasympathetic, they are ready to rest, digest, and repair damage. And so you can't be in both. You're either engaged in the stress side or engaged in the relax side. And so you're teaching some ways of doing it without popping some magnesium, which is what we would normally do to engage the parasympathetic, or maybe a nice smoothie drink with some green grasses, algae, and whatnot, because those are also engaging that side of your physiology.
Absolutely, and I'm pro all of that as well. Like, I just figure, you know, weight your odds, you know, always be going for that even calm, because, you know, what happens is you lay a foundation. So you're setting your foundation from the moment you open your eyes in the morning to create your life, to create that moment, that day, you know, that week, that month, that year. And so I believe that from the second that we wake up, we are kind of laying the kindling for the fire of that day. And so thoughts that we think first thing in the morning are very important. And so I teach in my book, and as I teach all day, every day, you know, whether I'm teaching yoga or I'm teaching Best Life Ever workshops across the world, I teach about, you know, really being mindful about the thoughts and about what you put into your body. Yeah, magnesium's awesome. Green smoothies are awesome. I was actually raw vegan, my family and I, so seven people. Well, not seven the whole time because the twins are only three, but our whole family was raw vegan for 7 years, 100% raw vegan, which is a challenge with kids.
Yes.
And we really, really believed and believe in the power of food and choices around nutrition in day-to-day life. The reason we stopped being raw vegan, and this is all in my book, there's a chapter called Why We Stopped Being a Label, was because of our twins, actually. We were, the twins were one, and we were on a ferry ride going to Nantucket, and this is throughout my book as well, I believe that the universe is quite relentless when it's giving us messages, but oftentimes, you know, whether it's because of our thoughts or whether we're not, you know, popping enough magnesium or having enough green smoothies or practicing enough of our quote-unquote yoga, sometimes we're not aware. So, you know, people say, oh, I'm missing the, you know, the signals from the universe. And I like to say, you know, you're getting 40, 50 signals a day. Like, you just have to be aware for one of them. Well, this one particular day, the universe was relentless in this message. Over and over again on a one-hour ferry ride, I had people come up to me and tell me separately. They didn't know each other. Oh, I love your studios, Prana Power Yoga, and I love your blogs. And I have twins, too, your twins' age. Look, and I would look at their twins, and they were quite a bit larger, like a lot taller and just bigger than my twins. They looked totally different, and I never compare my kids. I mean, they were my fourth and fifth kids. I've never done that, but this was uncanny. Like, it was like, whoa, really? Our kids are the same age. Your kids are like double my kids' size. So after the third person came up to me, I was, I thought I was on candid camera. You know, I was looking around, and I was like, is this like, do they still do candid camera? And still I let it go because I thought, oh, whatever. And then the next day when we were in Nantucket, at my niece's birthday party, someone literally came up, interrupted the party, and said the exact same thing. And when we made it to the car, you know, before I burst into tears, and I said to my husband, our kids are no longer raw vegan. And then this is after 7 years, we'd opened a raw vegan restaurant, we were, you know, immersed in the lifestyle and, you know, belief system. And my husband was like, what are you talking about? So I told him the whole thing, and I was crying, and I was just completely humbled and confused, honestly. And I just knew in that moment that all of my beliefs had to change right then for my children's sake. And did I not believe in eating you know, taking magnesium and drinking green smoothies. Absolutely not. I still totally believed in that, but I knew that my kids needed a little something else.
Yes.
And so starting then, you know, they ate and eat everything, and they went quite quickly from the third percentile to the 53rd within 6 months. And so my kids eat a lot of raw vegan, and a lot, they drink a lot of green smoothies and a lot of really high vibration foods, but they don't have any more restriction.
You know, what's cool, interesting in you saying that is that we actually preach metabolic typing in Life Enthusiast. And metabolic typing takes into account biological individuality, and it explains that some people need to have fairly high levels of protein and fat in their diet, while others are quite all right on low-fat, low-protein, high-carb diet. So for some people individually, it's very easy to be a vegetarian and fruitarian even, but for others, it's totally wrong.
Yeah, I didn't know that you preached that, but I completely agree with you, and I just believe that also just energetically, yeah, everyone is just so different, and everyone wants just kind of one answer, and I think it's just so individual, and I also just think developmentally for children, there's something, there's honestly, to be totally honest, what I understand is what I've seen with my own children, and it took that, you know, you've heard people say that, a mother can lift up a car off of her child if it falls on her child because you get this incredible strength. Well, I garnered this incredible strength when I had that experience, because I, was able to go off of the raw vegan lifestyle in a heartbeat, like right then, so I could be eating the same things as my kids. I didn't want to, be like the weird, you know, raw vegan mom who didn't eat with her kids, but my body was fine. Whereas before, I had told people for years when I did consulting that it to eat a lot of raw vegan food, but never go 100% raw, even though I was, because I felt that it kept the flexibility alive, so they could go to a wedding or whatever, just kind of, you know, stay strong in that way, not be completely reliant upon, you know, foods being a certain way all the time, which is what I had become. I was incredibly healthy and energized, but I had to have food in a certain way, and it was incredible because I would try to eat, you know, some form of any, you know, healthy cooked food, and I would get very sick. And the second that I made the choice for my children, which was really pretty incredible, I was totally fine. I could eat anything, and I was fine. So that, again, jumps back to the power of our minds as well. And I do think everyone is different. Everyone's an individual. And, yeah, I completely agree with what you guys are teaching.
Cool. So you have the Prana Power Yoga Studios in, in the New York, Boston area, right?
Yeah, we have three studios in Boston area, and we have two in New York City.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about how you got into yoga.
Well, my husband and I both were totally transformed by our yoga practices, and we were both in the rat race. I was actually a clinical psychologist, so I was really digging your parasympathetic and sympathetic description back then. So I was finishing my doctorate. I'd done my MA and my MED at Columbia, and I was finishing my doctorate, and all I had left was one internship left at Harvard, and I had done my dissertation on the power of yoga to transform, and I'd done all my coursework, and my then boyfriend, we weren't married then, current husband, he was working as a consultant at Bain Consulting in Boston, and I was practicing one day at home, and I'm a very intuitive and spiritual person, and it just came to me, and that we were going to open a studio, and it was called Prana Power Yoga. And I called Philippe, he was at Bain, and I said, "We're going to open a studio, and it's called Prana Power Yoga." And he said, "Okay." And we opened 3 months later. We had both trained as teachers prior, of course, and were just completely, you know, this was our path. It was our passion, and it had so transformed our lives that really our business plan, quote unquote, was to help people transform their lives through the power of yoga. And I remember one of my friends from Brown was, you know, kind of fit to be tied because she kept saying, "What's your business plan? You know, what's your business plan?" And I said, "My business plan is to, you know, to help people and let them, you know, see the power of this practice." And I got to tell you, it worked out really well. You know, day one, people flocked to the studio, and it was really helpful in so many people's lives, and we loved every minute of it. And so we opened a second studio. That was in Newton, Massachusetts, which is where we live, our hometown. And then 2 years later, we opened Union Square, New York City, which is not our hometown, and we would travel there every weekend with our children to teach, and teach all weekend, and then come back and teach in Boston. And of course, we trained teachers. By the way, we now train over 100 people a year. I gotta change that bio, but we train a lot of people because what happened was we realized that, you know, we came up with our kind of our prana power yoga flow and kind of our template for what we felt the practice should be like, and it's in a heated room, and it is a flow. It's not Bikram. Some people get confused when they hear heated, but it's not Bikram. It's a flow. It's a vinyasa, and it's a spiritual practice, but it's not you know, you don't have to chant or burn incense to practice.
Are there yoga practices where you are chanting?
Yeah, oh, of course. There's so many different types of yoga, and yoga is we're pro all types of yoga. You know, we just want people to find their yoga. Like I said earlier, you know, their type within the asana. Yeah, people chant. I mean, we do chant at the end. We say three ohms actually at the beginning and the end, and we do burn a little incense. But it's I'd say over and over again that our yoga is very accessible. Scott and Martin, it's an accessible yoga, so that if you've never practiced yoga, if you've never done any athletic anything your whole life, if you don't even know where India is, you will do absolutely fine at Prana, and it's a very loving community, very open. I think one thing that's kind of been discouraging to me over the last, you know, 15, 20 years is that, you know, some yoga studios tend to be a little bit judgmental and kind of like you have to wear this and do this and eat this and blah, blah, blah to be able to practice here. And we really don't believe that. We just believe it's for everybody. But it's also a really great workout if you do happen to be like a marathoner or an Olympic athlete. We have people who come in who are incredible athletes, and they think that it's quite challenging. So it's really all levels, and all of our classes speak to that. So anyone can really show up to any class and feel totally at home. And it's amazing to me how intimidating yoga can be to some people. I go to our YMCA, our local YMCA, every morning. I teach yoga at 4:30 in the morning at my Newton studio, and then I go to the YMCA afterwards to do cardio and write. That's actually where I wrote my book, was on cardio at the YMCA. And the woman there who runs the whole athletic, you know, the whole wellness program there, the athletic director, she's amazing. And, you know, everyone looks up to her, and she's amazing. And she whispered to me a couple weeks ago, you know, "I'm going to Prana, and I'm really nervous, you know, because I've never done it before." And I thought, oh, I wish I could write a blog about that, you know, but I don't want to. But the bottom line is, I mean, I can't do that, but the bottom line is, like, it can be intimidating, but not at Prana. It really isn't at all, and we're very welcoming.
Cool. Well, I've been going to Bikram's Yoga here for probably 4 or 5 years now, and I love it. And it's the only, it's like, only having experienced blue, right? It's the only yoga that I've ever done or known or anything, right? So I'm always kind of curious about, you know, other practices of yoga. But I agree with you. I just think it's an amazing process for me. And I'm not particularly flexible, and I'm able to like touch my toes. And there's no reason I couldn't touch my toes except that I wasn't flexible before, right?
Right, right.
And I just think it's great, and the mental and emotional, spiritual aspect of it is just as challenging as the physical aspect of it. And one of the things that I like about the instructors that I have at the studio that I go to is they're always saying, you know, to do your best, but that's not the same as overdoing it and causing a problem. So the awareness then comes into, I'm going to stretch and bend this way. I could go way further, but if I go way further, I'm not actually really doing the pose and I'm hurting myself. So there's this whole idea of being aware of my body and what I'm capable of and respecting my body, right? Because if I push too far and I overstretch and I pull my hamstring, that's because I wasn't aware. It wasn't
exactly aware. Exactly. And I think, you know, that's where the mat really meets everyone where they are, and every single practice is different. And
yes,
that's why there is no competition. I mean, for me, the yoga was such a miracle because I was a competitive athlete my whole life. Since I was 5 years old, I trained in ice skating and figure skating.
Wow.
I was training for the Olympics, and then it was a crazy story. The rink at which I skated in the Midwest, a tiny little town, Lake Bluff, Illinois, burned down, and so my mom had to drive me like really far away, you know, 5 a.m, and finally she put the kibosh on that, and I was devastated, and I had to stop skating, and I started playing tennis, and eventually I trained. I live with my tennis coach in Sarasota, Florida. His name is Nick Baltieri, and I lived at his house, and I trained to go pro, and blah blah blah, on and on it goes. And so when I started practicing yoga, it taught me how to totally drop all competition and really change my life. I mean, it was incredible, and I couldn't believe how it lifted the veils of illusion for me. I mean, for me, it was like a light switch going off. I was like, wow, this is my dharma. And, you know, the thing is, it never stops amazing me how much I transform on my mat. Like every single morning there's a transformation no matter what, and that's why I always make it to my mat. And like I said, I think Bikram's great. I think all types of yoga are great. They're all different. You know, our yoga is different than Bikram in that we have a flow, and so you guys do like 26 poses and they're more static, whereas yep, we flow and we do sun salutation A's and B's. But it's all, you know, in my opinion, just as much or even more mental and emotional and spiritual than physical. And the physical is amazing. I mean, you'll definitely get your body into amazing physical shape and you know, get that parasympathetic moving really well and calm yourself and focus yourself. But you know, the emotional and the spiritual, to me, are the biggest part.
Yeah, I agree too. The determination not to leave the room, or the determination to go, even, you know, there's like all these things that we're being distracted with in our lives, and to be able to focus and say, no, you know, I'm going to hot yoga. And it's a practice, which is, I think, another aspect of it that people don't realize. And in my story with hot yoga was a friend of mine walked by the studio, and he said, well, that's really cool. He was always into exercise and different stuff more than I am, and not that I wasn't, but like quite a bit more than I was. And he said, I've never done that. Do you want to go? And I said, sure. So we went, and we both agreed it was the hardest thing we'd ever done in terms of physical exercise, right?
Yeah.
And so he said, well, I want to continue going, and would you like to go too? And I said, yeah. So we made an agreement we would both go. And that was the only reason that I continued, because he would show up at my door, knock on it, say, okay, it's time to go, and we would go. And it took me 3 or 4 months before – it wasn't that I didn't want to go. I did want to go, but I had all these other things that kept getting in the way, right? So
right,
my friend coming – forced me to go in a gentle, friendly way. I mean, it wasn't like he grabbed me and, you know, yanked me out of the house or anything. And then after about 3 or 4 months, I had created new habits, which were very, very helpful in terms
of... Exactly. So you're setting the foundation, and that's exactly, you know, the practice teaches you that, right? You just don't, yes. you don't just wing into a pose. You know, you set the foundation, you know, in twisting triangle, you set the foundation before you, you know, reach your arm up to the sky. And similarly, you know, you're setting the foundation for your day. And then, you know, the way that I like to say in my class is that, you know, you cultivate who you want to be on your yoga mat. So as you're cultivating, you know, patience and determination, as you said, and focus and clarity and calm on your yoga mat, then you just cultivate that in your life. And you don't have to be thinking about it. In fact, I think it's better if you don't think about it.
Yeah, and it's really hard to think about anything when you're in the heat and you're contorted into a position that as a you know, mid-50s guy, I'm not used to for most of my life. There's not a lot of time for like the brain actually kind of turns off in my case, and I'm happy. I just listen to the instructor and you know, he's going on or she's going on or both of them are doing their whatever they're saying, and that's just enough of a distraction that my monkey mind just sort of says, ah, I'm out of, it's too
hot. Exactly. And I think it's such a gift, you know, it's a gift to every single day or whenever, however many times you practice, that you give to yourself. And it's a little mini vacation, right? It's a little mini Aruba without the airport scenario I described earlier.
Right. Well, I have to tell you just a very short little story of something that happened to me in yoga, because I think, Taylor, you would really appreciate it. I was doing one of the poses, and I think it's one where you put one leg out behind and you put your arms out in front and you're trying to do a T. But I might not be – I think it was that
that's
one.
That's Warrior Three. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the instructor was a woman who had been my instructor. There's about 20 people in the room, and I'd been in her classes before. And I was feeling this like huge energy in the bottom of my lower back, and it was moving up. And so I'm trying to hold this pose, and something's going on. I don't know what. And then all of a sudden, it was just kind of like this burst through the top of my head, and then she was like right there, and she goes, "Oh, what beautiful colors and flowers coming out of the top of your head!"
No.
Right at the time that it happened, right? She said, "That's really nice." And so it was because I had no clue what you know. I had no visualization. I had no idea. I just had this feeling coming up, and it was intense, right?
Wow.
And then she goes, "Oh, what nice colors and flowers out of the top of your head. That was really cool." And I don't know that anybody else in the room paid any attention to it or not, or heard it or whatever, but, you know, but I was just like, oh, thank you for that validation that, you know, something happened, right?
That's so amazing.
Yeah, it was just beautiful.
So I want to butt in here with, you know, acknowledging Taylor here for just being a great coach and way shower. And this is what a lot of people need. They need to actually just get a glimpse of what's possible. And then, you know, thank God you have the kind of energy that you do have. And I guess your personality, even though you modified it a lot, you still have a ton of drive.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Martin, for those are really kind words. And that's, first of all, I just want to say I'm taking that in. And that was something I mean, I've always been a very nice person. Like, I'm just a nice person. But I couldn't really take things in. Like, someone would say something to me and I would say the right thing, but I wasn't truly connected with my authentic self because I couldn't really take things in and take in the joy and take in the love. And I think that was the biggest shift for me. For me, the competition thing was just, it was a distraction from, I just had a really rough childhood. So it was actually a really good thing because I could get out there and whack a tennis ball and grunt every time I hit it and win all the tournaments and, mm-hmm. you know, get straight A's. And, you know, it kept me sane and calm. And, you know, whereas in other situations, you know, I've worked as a psychologist with people who didn't have those outlets. And, you know, they weren't as resilient. And so that's one thing I say to people, by the way, who are dubious. And I go, yeah, create the best life ever, you know, when they're resistant. And they say, best life ever, well, look at you. You know, everything's so easy for you, and it's always been so easy. And I say, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on, you know. And
I worked
one of the
for
lines
it, baby.
What's that?
I say, I worked for it, baby.
Well, what's funny is, okay, a couple things about that. I love that you said that, because I used to say that before I knew about deliberate creation, okay? Because people would say, you make it look so easy and blah, blah, blah. And I would say, hey, you know, I work hard, or I this and I that, because, you know, that's what I've been taught, right? That's what you tell people. You say, hey, I worked for it, and I went through this, and I went through that. But what you'll notice when you read my book is that I actually don't do that anymore, because remember what I was talking about, my words create my reality and deliberate creation. And so one of my inspiration cards, I have an inspiration card deck out as well that is a nice, you know, tool with the book, and it's these affirmation cards or inspiration cards, and one of them says, everything is easy for me. Okay?
Good one.
So, and that was actually inspired by some of my haters on the Boston Herald, because I write for the Boston Herald, and for the I have a blog, daily blog on the bostonherald.com, and I also write for the paper. And you know, some of my haters, which, you know, whenever you put yourself out there, you're just going to get haters. It's just the way it is. And, you know, I've totally let that go. But the bottom line is, they were like, yeah, it's just so easy for you. And I was like, hey, that's a good card. Everything is easy for me. You know, I was like, I turned that right around. But then the other thing is, I explained, wait a minute, it hasn't always been, this is one of the lines from my book, it hasn't always been cupcakes and incense for this supermom, but what I've learned to do is to take all experiences and turn them around, okay, and find the growth and move to a higher place. And I won't go into detail about them, though. Like, people have told me, oh, my God, you should write a book about, you know, the crazy stuff that went down in your childhood. You could be on Oprah. And I was like, dude, I don't want to live that and relive that. I want to focus on the light, and I want to teach people that I can refer to it so they know, like, because some people immediately through resistance, they say, well, she can do it, but I can't, right? And my whole thing is, and the reason I wrote the book, is anyone can do this, and it won't make a change in a week or in a year or in a month or in 10 years. It will make a change today. Like, the moment, literally, if you read this information with an open heart and an open mind, and if you do read my book, you will, because I made a deal with the universe. I will write this book, and as long as I and my book only attract those who are open to the information. And that is exactly what happened. So remember my story about the ferry ride and the people coming up to me and saying, you know, oh, my twins are your twins' age. It was a similar thing with the book. Every single day over a decade, more than 5 people a day, every day would say to me, they would pull me aside wherever I was, you know, whether I was at the studio or at Trader Joe's or at my kids' soccer game or at pickup from school, they would say, how do you do everything that you do? Number one, are you a workaholic? Number two, and do you ever sleep? Number three. Okay. Oh, number four, are you really happy? Are you really that happy? And so the answers were, 3 answers were easy. Number one, I'm not a workaholic. In fact, I feel like I never work because I love everything that I do. I feel like I never work. I feel like I'm just loving everything, so it doesn't feel like work. Number two, I sleep 8 hours a day, 8 hours a night. I sleep from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. Number three, I really am this happy. Like, I am happy 99% of the time, and because I choose to be, because it's a practice. And the fourth component, the fourth question was really not, it was not possible to answer it, you know, at Trader Joe's in line. I couldn't explain. I would say, you can do this, and here are the components, but I never had enough time, so I wrote the book.
Cool.
You know, what's interesting is what you're highlighting there is, I could summarize it this way. We're human beings, not human doings. And
right.
So the beingness comes before the doingness. And so when you solve a problem on the subtle inner vibrational, then the physical manifestation of it is easy, or it just follows.
Exactly. In fact, I would argue that 99% of creation is completed in your mind, and just 1% is the action journey. And the action journey should be easy and flow, and it should be fun. So
right.
I would argue that when you are hitting a wall repeatedly, or when you are not enjoying something that you're doing, that's when you need your awareness that you've cultivated through yoga to say, ooh, let me stop here and take a little child's pose or a little rest and just figure out, not through my mind, but through my heart, how does this feel? And, oh, it's not feeling so good, so I need to make a little shift. And I would argue that there are no decisions, that if it's not obvious, leave it alone, that according to the Tao, you know, let the muddy water settle. I 100% live by that. I don't believe there are decisions. I believe that it's completely clear. And some people will argue with me and say, well, I have to make a decision, and, you know, I have this time frame and this and that. But I believe that when you're truly, when you set the foundation, which is again a practice, and it starts with, you know, your yoga practice, and as we talked about earlier, you know, the foods, and liquids and thoughts, everything you put into your body, right? So it's all important, and the people, you surround yourself with, et cetera, et cetera. All of this is the foundation, and once you set that foundation, it will flow easily and beautifully, and you will create the best life ever as long as you are aware and you have a clear intention. I think a lot of time people know what they don't want, but they don't know what they do want. And so they're talking a lot about what they don't want. And so when I ask them, literally when I say to them, when I used to do consulting, which I no longer do, but I would say, you know, my first question would be, okay, what do you want? And you'd be so blown away by how many people could not answer the question. And I would say, now, if you don't know what you want, how can the universe deliver it?
That's right.
So here's an interesting one. I mean, this is a common psychological trait. You know, many people are finding it easier to go away from as opposed to be attracted to. Many find it easier to be preventing a loss rather than gaining pursuing a gain. But I guess I would summarize it as, start worrying about the things you want as opposed to worrying about the things that you don't want.
Exactly. Because I love that. That's so wise, because I always say that worry is using your imagination to create something you don't want. So if someone still has worry in their vocabulary, yeah, tell them to worry about what you do want. Right? It's all energy. So basically, it's a discipline. And my tennis and my skating gave me discipline, so that I actually am a very good student. Like when I had my abdominal surgery, I did everything the doctor said. Like I healed much faster because I actually had them do my cards during the surgery. They read my cards out loud and they read them to me in anesthesia and everything. And I healed in a third of the time, but I still rested because I'm a good patient. I'm going to listen. I'm going to be disciplined. This is just a discipline. It's not hard. None of this is hard. But, yeah, focus on what you want. And, you know, my understanding is that everybody just wants to be happy, like no matter what they want, whether it's, you know, the job or the partner or the house or the car or the children or the accolades. It's all because they think that that will bring them joy, right? The end result is joy, you know, inner peace, you know, feeling of security, whatever. But it's joy overall. So, you know, I think people have just been kind of mistaught through our society that life is hard, and life is hard, and it sucks, and you got to work hard, and you got to compete. And these just are not my belief systems, and so therefore my life reflects that.
Awesome. So we're really looking for coachable people, and thank God for people like you who are good coaches who can put it together succinctly and devise a plan and put it on 5 points and count them on your fingers and say, these are the 5 things you need to be aware of and do.
Absolutely. And anyone can do it. I mean, I just want to speak. Yeah, exactly. I love coachable people because, you know, when the student is ready, the master appears, right? And I'm good at building bridges, but I've learned not to proselytize ever because it doesn't work. You know, when you're aware and you're awake and you're open to the information, it will make perfect sense, and you will feel a feeling of joy and hope and excitement and inspiration when you hear the information. And that's, you know, that's a warning I put at the bottom of my workshops, you know, warning, you will feel happy, inspired, and hopeful after this workshop. And, you know, I always say success guaranteed, because if you're open to the information, you will be successful.
So people can actually see you do this live, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I teach workshops all over the world, and they're listed on my website, pranapoweryoga.com, and also taylorwells.me. And I saw my book on those websites as well as on Amazon.com and my inspiration deck, which I really recommend the deck also because for people who, you know, people love the book and they read it repeatedly. So it's not the kind of book, first of all, you can pick it up and open it at any page and read a paragraph and you'll get something out of it. But also it just kind of, it happens that you read what you need to read right at that time. It's kind of cool that way. The universe and I are kind of in cahoots on that. But the deck is really nice too, the inspiration card deck, because you can just pick a card, you know, for the day, and there's your card for the day. You know, it might say, you know, everything is unfolding as it should. And then the other side, because there's a quote on both sides, might say, you know, my job today is to be in alignment. The rest is up to the universe and the law of attraction. And, you know, I wrote the cards because I noticed in my work with Harvard students back in the day when I was a doctoral student that every single student who walked in my door as a patient, quote unquote, had the exact same first line to me. And I'm not kidding about this. It's amazing to me. Every single kid said one thing. And what do you think they said?
I can't begin to speculate on this one.
I have a blank too.
I thank you. Every single kid who walked in my door said, I am the admissions mistake. I should not be here. And I couldn't tell them that the last 32 people said the same thing because of confidentiality. But what got my mind really going and my spirit and my heart was, wow, these are kids at Harvard. And they have anxiety and depression and fear because they think they're not enough, because they think this moment isn't as it should be. They think, you know, they're having, they're worrying because they think, am I doing the right thing? Am I at the right place? You know, am I enough, right? And my cards in one-liners tell you, you are enough right now. Like, you're where you need to be. You know, even if it's a difficult time, by the way, this is where you need to be, and all is well.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a great reminder that when you are at some kind of a highfalutin conference and you're thinking, oh, my God, these people are so accomplished, most of them are just maybe 2 minutes ahead of you in their evolution.
Oh, I think we're all human beings, and so we all – have, you know, we all want to be, we all want joy and we all want love, really. And so we're just going about it in different ways, and that's the best ever. Like, no, that's why there's no competition. I mean, the whole idea of competition is ludicrous if you really step back and see how different everyone is, and that there is no scarcity. See, I teach that there's no scarcity, so there's abundance for everyone. And once you live this, you will be astonished at how quickly the universe will give you information that supports your belief. So that's how it is. You choose the belief, and you really feel the essence of it. Okay, that's the key. You feel the essence of it. And then the universe gives you tons of information and people and events and on to support it. So what do you want the universe to give you support of? You know, today is the best day ever, or life sucks, right?
Yeah, right, absolutely. So, Taylor, you're going to be – one of the reasons that you're on our show, and I want to get a big shout-out and thank you to David Wolf, because I went to the Women's Wellness Conference, and you were there teaching yoga, and it was just amazing. And coming up in the next few weeks is another conference, and I believe you're going to be at that one too. So I just thought maybe you could, for those people that are listening and want to, like us, have a little bit more of Taylor, there's an opportunity coming up, and I thought maybe you could just share a little bit about what you'll be doing at the Longevity Conference.
Oh, I'd love to, yeah, and a big shout-out to David Wolf. He is a friend and a mentor and just an overall good guy, bringing light to the planet. He's a tireless angel on this planet who gives and gives and gives. And I'm very grateful. I met him many years ago in New York City, at a raw food thing. And then he came to my class the next day and we just totally hit it off. And I've been teaching at his, many of his events, ever since. So, and Rebecca is also awesome. She pulls together these amazing conferences. So the Women's Wellness was awesome. You were there, rocked it. And now Longevity is is it May 2nd or May 3rd? I can't remember. It's a Friday to
it's
a Sunday.
May 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th.
4th, 5th, and 6th. There you go. I'm actually going out on the 26th to do like a whole like book tour out there. So I'm going to end up there. And it's a great conference, a lot of amazing learning going on from amazing people in all walks of life, all types, you know, all health oriented. And I'm teaching yoga in the mornings, first thing. We're doing an hour of prana power yoga. And again, anyone can do it. I mean, people show up in jeans. They come without a mat. They come wearing socks. I had a woman at the Women's Wellness, very pregnant and with her little toddler with her. I don't know if you were there that day, but it was awesome. So I'll be teaching yoga, and then I'll have a table and be talking about and selling my books and my card decks and my DVDs. So that's always lots of fun. People pop by the table and, you know, we chat and I sign a book and, you know, it's fun.
Awesome. Yeah. So we'll have a link on our podcast page for the Longevity Conference. So you can click on there, find out more about it and go see Taylor. Make sure you get her book. And if you can't make it, then head over to Amazon, put Taylor Wells in the search engine. We'll put a link to your book and to your cards as well on our podcast page, Taylor, so people can find you. And I have to say we only asked for about 20 minutes of your time, and you've given us pretty much an hour. So I want to thank you very much for your generosity. It's been just wonderful, and I hope that you'll join us again one day soon.
I would love to, and it's a pleasure, and I could talk about this stuff all day long. So it's what I do. It's what I love. And you said it really well at the beginning, but I'm just going to repeat for the universe and for everyone who's listening, my intention is to spread the word about these principles because they work, these principles of creating the best life ever, and anyone can do this. This is not anything to be intimidated by. It's not, ooh, a scary yoga book or, ooh, a scary raw vegan book or a parenting book or any of that. It's for anyone, really.
Awesome. So thank you for joining us again, Taylor. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. You've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.